with you before I get started today that's going to happen in the next couple of weeks. On the, I think it's the 17th of, I'm pretty sure, it's the 17th of Friday. Okay, it's the 17th. I was right. So no more correcting me unless you absolutely know I'm wrong. So on the 17th, we are going to begin our school's basketball with a tournament. It's going to be here. Now, I'm telling you this because something very special is going to be happening at this basketball game. I'm sure most of you are aware that in this country, a lot of our sporting events, especially professional sporting events, you're seeing a lot of people who disrespect our flag, who disrespect our veterans, and who are disrespecting our country. And we've had a lot of discussion about that in our school. We talked a lot about how important it is to have pride in our country that God has blessed us with, pride in our flag, pride in our, you know, our anthems. And so that night, our game is the last game of the night. I think it starts about 7 o'clock. We are going to be having something very special happen. We're going to be honoring our veterans. We're going to invite the veterans to come to that service. I'm going to be speaking in between games, and I'm going to talk about the things that I just described to you and how important it is that they recognize that we love them and that we honor them. We're also looking at having the Marine Corps actually bring our flag in and do an honor guard type service for us as we do the national anthem. We're going to be having a special speaker or a special person who's going to come and sing the national anthem for us that night. If you're interested in coming, and I got to know for sure that you're going to come, I'm going to buy you a special shirt. There's a shirt that we're having made for that night that's going to have the flag on the front, and on the back it says something like, FAFCA stands for the flag. And if you want to come and you want to be a part of that with us, if you'll let me know after service, I'm going to order you a shirt. It's going to be paid for, and you're going to get that, but only if you come. If you come, I'm going to give you the shirt. If you don't come and you want the shirt, you have to pay for it. So I really want to encourage you to come out, support our students. This is a big deal. For our students to make this kind of stand is a big deal. All of our basketball players are getting special warm-ups. They have the entire American Eagle on the front of it, and it's going to be their name and stuff on the back along with that theme that FAFCA stands for the flag. Now, that's going to happen on Friday night the 17th. Monday, which is the 13th, we're going to have a service here for our veterans. We do this every year. If you're a veteran, we'd love to have you come. If you're not, we'd still love to have you come just to support and honor our veterans. I'm going to have an opportunity to preach to them and appreciate them, and I'd love for you to come out and be a support of that as well. I'll give you more information on that next week as well as the basketball game, but think about that. I need to know, if you know for sure you're coming on Friday for the basketball game and you can tell me that today, then I'll make sure you get shirts. Otherwise, sometime between now and next Monday or Tuesday, I'll need to know in order to get them and get them printed. I believe if you're riding on our bus, we'll send our bus to come get you, because I'm sure I can get these two up front to make that happen for us. But I think it's around 7 o'clock. It'll be 7 o'clock on Friday night. And if you're a veteran, you're going to be given a free pass that night to enter into all of our home games whenever we have them, and you're also going to get free concessions as long as we're a school here. So you're going to get a card that says that, and so Duke, you can go eat all the popcorn you want to eat. But think about that and pray about it, because I think it's time, you know, especially our students, you know, rise up and take some sort of civic pride in who we are, take some sort of pride in our country, our flag, and our veterans. So I'd encourage you to consider coming out and supporting them. All right, today, over the years, a lot of us have taken the time to talk about vision. We've talked about reaching our community with the gospel of Jesus Christ, and I'll tell you, me personally, being that visionary, it always excites me to see that part of our future. I mean, when we look down the road and we see all the different things that our church is involved in and going to be involved in, even finishing the third phase of our building, that's exciting to me. But nothing is more exciting to me than to see a future where we are still reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But you know, every time I watch the news, I mean, even the conversation we've already had here today, every time I watch the news, I'm reminded how much trouble our families really are in. I mean, I watched the news as they reported a father who had killed his 8-year-old daughter and her friend. I listened to the news that talked about a mother who killed her child, a young boy who killed his parents and left their bodies to lay to rot. And I got to tell you, when I watch things like that and I hear things like that, you know, I realize that we're in trouble. One of the main objectives here in our church is to build families of faith. Because listen, for years, the family has been under attack. I believe our church has been called, we've been equipped to do something about that. But let me tell you something, as families of faith, what you have been taught, what you believe, you know, really does make all the difference in the world in the way you act. In other words, as you read God's word, as you're taught that word, as you begin to apply that word to your life, it actually affects the way you act. It makes all the difference in the world in what you value, as well as the standards that guide the way you live. And let me tell you something else. Your emotions have a profound effect on the way you feel. And you know what's missing in most homes today, besides the presence of God? There's no joy. I mean, there's no sense of hope. There's no sense of peace in most people's homes. I mean, all the things that I just read to you that are on the front page of the newspaper or on every news cycle that you're watching on television, it kind of sucks that life right out of us, doesn't it? I mean, when you read things like that, rather than just holding your child maybe a little bit closer, you just become harder and harder and harder. And there's just no joy left in the home. In fact, it's been replaced with stress. It's been replaced with TV and toys. And everybody's mad at each other. You can walk into almost any home anywhere, and you can just kind of see or feel the tension as this parent's standing in this corner and this parent is standing in that corner. And the kids are just kind of stuck in the middle wondering who they should pledge their allegiance to. I mean, was mom right today or was dad right today? A lot of people don't realize this, but if you're not a Christian, you cannot have a Christian home. It's just not possible. Listen, you can have a good home. You can have a moral home. You can, listen, you can sometimes manage to even have a happy home. But hear me when I tell you, you're never going to have a safe home. The Bible says in Psalm 127, unless the Lord builds the house, its builders labor in vain. In other words, if you're here this afternoon and you do not have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, and I'm not talking about, you know, being a member of some church, I'm not talking about, you know, just coming and tipping your hat to God once in a while. I'm talking about agreeing with God about your sin problem. I'm talking about believing that Jesus Christ died for you, and I'm talking about asking Him to forgive you and to be the Lord of your life. If you have not done that, the Bible says that you are building your house on the sand. And when the storms of this life come, trust me, they are going to come. You're going to be in trouble. But if you're born again, if you've prayed to receive Jesus as your Lord, then understand He is also the rock upon which you get to build your home. And when those same storms of life come, no matter what they are, you will be able to weather them because the foundation upon which you have built is strong. I think one of the key ingredients to building a strong family of faith, believe it or not, is joy. You know, just having some joy. I mean, when you think about all the cruddy stuff that is constantly being, you know, poured out, not just, you know, invited into our lives, but the things that are being poured out onto our lives, it can be overwhelming to you. And I think sometimes we just need to have some joy. The Bible says, if you're building your house on the sand, when these storms come, not only is it going to suck the life out of you, but you're going to fail. And you're going to find yourself in more trouble than you understand. We need that joy. Listen, families need to have some fun together. They need to enjoy one another. Here in Proverbs 17:22, King Solomon said something, and I want you to hear this. He said, a joyful heart, listen to this, is good medicine. A joyful heart is good medicine, but a broken spirit dries up their bones. Emotions are powerful, aren't they? I mean, they can cause you to sweat. They can cause you to cry. They can cause you to tremble. They can cause you to turn white when you're afraid. They can cause you to turn red when you're embarrassed, purple when you're mad, and green when you're sick. Emotions affect us physically. You ever heard of Norman Cousins? He was diagnosed with an incurable disease. The doctor gave him absolutely no hope. He was bedridden. But he decided that he wanted to live. And so he came up with his own treatment plan. He got his family to get him a movie projector, and they got all of the Charlie Chaplin and Abbott Costello movies that they could find, and he ran one movie after another, and after another, and the more he watched, the more he laughed. And the more he laughed, guess what? The better he felt. First thing you know, the doctors couldn't find any evidence of that incurable disease in his life. Paul Harvey, on one of his radio programs, tells the rest of the story. He said this, that Norman Cousins was on the staff at the UCLA School of Medicine, and he is pioneering a new medical discipline called psychoneuroimmunology. And the article says that carefully controlled experiments conducted by Cousins and his associates demonstrate that you can simply, by controlling your mindset, alter your temperature, your blood pressure, and your blood chemistry in a matter of minutes. He goes on to say, there is now evidence that cancer patients liberated from depression can actually activate the anti-cancer capability of the immune system. Cousins said that the human body is far more robust than people have been led to believe. A strong will to live, along with other positive emotions such as faith, hope, love, purpose, determination, and humor, he says, boosts the disease-fighting immune cells. Isn't that amazing? I mean, do you remember who King Solomon was? He was David's son, and if you remember, God told him, ask for anything you want, and I'll give it to you. Remember what he asked for? He asked for wisdom. So I guess this proverb is true, isn't it? I mean, King Solomon discovered thousands of years ago what Norman Cousins is calling a new medical discipline today. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, he said this, if you're joyful in your heart, that is good medicine. But if you're not joyful, if your spirit is broken, then it dries up your bones. In other words, George, you become old and tired. But more than that, you become a person that nobody wants to be around. That sound like anybody you know? Well, think about this. Who are those people that you are most attracted to? I mean, are they the people who are always gloomy and depressed? People who are always walking around with a frown on their face? Those people who are always, you know, see things that are bad in this world? Those people who are thoroughly convinced that everything is just going to absolutely fall apart in their lives? Listen, are those the people you really want to spend time with? No, not at all. Listen, we want to spend time with those people who have a smile on their face. People who have that joy in their heart. People who look at the glass and see it half full. I realize that some of you are probably thinking, I hear you, preacher, but circumstances in my life, they're really not that good. I mean, things have been kind of tough. Why should my heart be filled with joy? Listen, if you're a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you three reasons this afternoon why you ought to have some joy in your life. Have some joy in your life in spite of your personal circumstances or even the circumstances of the world in which we live. I think if you'll take these reasons home with you and if you'll live with them daily, I can promise you it's going to make a difference in the way you feel. Think about this first one. The first one is Christians, we got to remember that we have experienced deliverance. Has it been so long that you've forgotten that? We got to remember. I mean, listen, I think some folks have forgotten where they have come from. The Bible teaches us that while we were sinners, God loved us. While we were sinners, God sent His Son to die on the cross for us. And it teaches that when we receive Him into our hearts, when we confess Him with our lips as Lord, when we are buried with Him in that watery baptism, that watery grave of baptism, then something great happens to us. Remember, God forgives our sins, and He gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, I realize that many of you have heard those words before, but you think that just maybe they're so familiar that the wonder of them, the wonder of those words, the wonder of that experience really doesn't have the same impact on your life that it once did. You remember when just knowing Jesus and being known by Him was enough for your life? I mean, I was talking to someone earlier today about this very subject and how much God has done for us, how much He has blessed us. You know, there ought to be a sense of joy and a sense of pride every time you think about the sacrifice that was made for you. There ought to be something that brings a true sense of joy into your heart in spite of what's going on in your life, because you know that God is in control. That you know, listen, that God not only is in control, but He has such a purpose and plan for your life that no matter what you see or feel or experience, you know that God's not finished. The Bible teaches us that God loves us. You understand that you've been delivered? Folks, if that doesn't bring some great joy into your heart, then I don't know what's going to. I love the story about the naval officer who made captain. And not only was he made captain, but he was made captain of a battleship. And I've shared this before, so some of you might have heard it. He was in command for the very first time, and he was filled with such pride as he stood on the deck barking out orders. Late in the night, he was still standing proudly on the bridge, and he was the captain. And everybody was just surrendering themselves over to his leadership. The crew obeyed every one of his commands. But as he stood there, he saw this light slowly drawing near and near and nearer to them, almost directly into the battleship's path. Immediately, the captain ordered the signalman, signal the light to alter its course 10 degrees to the south. But back came the signal from the light saying, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. This made the captain incredibly angry. Confident that he was the ranking officer, he ordered, signal that this is the captain and he is to alter his course 10 degrees to the south. Back came the signal from the light saying, this is Seaman Third Class Smith, alter your course 10 degrees to the north. The captain became even angrier. He clenched his fists and he barked out the order, tell the light to change its course 10 degrees to the south and let them know that this is a battleship. Back came the signal from the light saying, alter your course 10 degrees to the north and tell your captain, this is a lighthouse. You understand you don't move a lighthouse. And you know what else you don't move? You don't move the absolute of God's Word. It's always the same. It's never going to change. The Bible says that if Jesus is our Lord and our Savior, that we have been delivered from the bondages of sin, and we have the gift of everlasting life. And folks, that ought to be the number one reason, especially the older we get, it ought to be the number one reason why we have joy in our hearts. King Solomon, the wisest man who ever lived, said a joyful heart. Think about this the next time the doctor writes you a prescription. A joyful heart is the best medicine. The second reason is we got to do is that we have got a job to do. You know that most people who deal with others say that the best medicine you can give to a person who is depressed, a person who's dealing with anxiety and fear and stress, the very best medicine that you can give to them is something to do. Give them a job. And I'll tell you, from my own personal experience working with those kinds of people almost on a daily basis, the bigger the job, the better. I mean, because the more involved we are in performing any kind of task, especially helping somebody else, the more we are apt to forget our own problems. You ever notice that? I mean, you get so involved in doing something. I mean, you were sitting there and your back hurt, your legs hurt, your arms hurt, your hair hurts. I mean, everything hurts. And finally, somehow, somebody gives you a job and you get up and you start moving around. And guess what your body has? It's called a circulatory system. And once that blood starts circulating in your system, pretty soon your legs feel better, your arms feel better, you comb your hair, and pretty soon you forgot all about your problems. Listen, if you're here and you want a job, well, this is your lucky day. Because I just happen to have one for all of you. It's the incredible job of proclaiming the gospel to your world, to your circle of influence, to your friends. You know, I want to brag about George for just a minute. Almost every time I see him, you know what he's asking me to do? Go visit somebody. Listen, he's not asking me to knock on a door that he hasn't already knocked on. He's always asking me to visit somebody because he's already visited them and he's wore out his welcome. In other words, they don't want to hear anything he's got to say about the Lord anymore, so he's trying to find somebody else to do that job. And you know what? It seems like he's getting healthier, not weaker. Seems like he's stronger. You know why? Because he's doing something. And I think the more that we do, the better we feel. We need to be proclaiming to the world that we live in who Jesus Christ is. It's the same job that God gave us more than 2,000 years ago. And guess what? We haven't completed the task. The job isn't finished. You still know somebody that needs to be saved, don't you? I mean, sure you do. They're among your friends. They're all throughout your neighborhood. They're in your own families. They're the people who don't know who Christ is. God said your job is simple. Let your friends and your neighbors and your families know that Jesus is Lord. Let him know that he is the King of all kings and that he died for them. You want a job to do? Tell somebody about the love of Christ. And while you're doing it, listen, why don't you let your heart be filled with the joy that the world is never going to understand? Annette, every time I see you walk in here, you're giddy. Hey, I talked to one more of them people over there, and I think they're going to come today. You know, and you get so excited about that. And you know what? When you talk about that, you're not upset about your grandkids anymore. You know, when you talk about that, you're not mad at Rick anymore. You know, I mean, listen, that's the way it works. When you get involved and you start helping somebody else or you care about somebody else, you forget about your own problems. Listen, there's something about sharing our faith with someone that brings this indescribable joy into our lives. It's a joy that we absolutely need today. I can't begin to tell you the countless times simply sharing my faith with somebody changed my entire attitude. I mean, I could be upset about something, things can be going wrong, and suddenly I'll get a phone call or somebody will come into the office and I start sharing my faith. I mean, I had a meeting that I was forced into yesterday. And in other words, I was already in a meeting and somebody came in and they needed me right now. It can't wait. They can't reschedule. They need me right now. And so I walked out of the meeting I was in that I felt was important, and I was a little frustrated as I walked down the hall. But by the time I got done with that meeting and was able to share my faith and talk about how great God was and watch the transformation in this person's life right before my very eyes, what do you think that did to my attitude? My attitude was gone. It's like I was thanking God for the privilege and the opportunity to get to serve Him in that way and in that capacity. We need that today. It'll change your own circumstances the more you allow God to use you. God has completely calmed the storms of conflict that had raged in my life many times simply by sharing my faith with somebody else. Listen, if you're going to build a family of faith, you got to have the kind of joy in your life, the kind of joy that comes from passionately being concerned for others. Some of the greatest moments of joy in our family has been when we were working together as a family to advance God's kingdom. Karen has pictures of my children when they were little kids and we were starting churches. She's got pictures of them carrying pews in and out of a sanctuary that we had to use for a different purpose. You know, on Saturday nights, my whole family had come together and we would set up for church. Those were some of the best times we had. There's a third ingredient that I think also can bring some joy into our hearts, and that is to trust. And I think every married couple here knows that it's really hard for a marriage to survive unless there's some element of trust between the husband and wife. And the same can be said about true friendship. It requires trust as well. And folks, when trust prevails, then peace and harmony can also prevail. Amen? It's the same way. Our Christian life can have a much more meaningful experience when we can learn what it means to trust God to take care of everything. I mean, there are things in our lives that we don't mind turning over to God immediately. We can trust God with this. God will take care of that. But then we have like this whole collection of things over here that we have to trust for ourselves. A whole collection of things over here that we think we're the only ones that can handle. God says you need to learn to trust me with all things. There's nothing in your life that you can mention to me today that is above the ability, the power, or the authority of God. Everything in your life you can completely trust God with. You can trust Him with your anger. You can trust Him with your bitterness. You can trust Him with your dreams, your hopes. You can trust Him with your health. You can trust Him with everything in your life. And there's nothing that will bring you joy quicker than when you put that trust in His hands. Because as long as it's in yours, guess what you know about yourself? You know your limitations. You know that you really can't handle this. You know that you're not going to be able to overcome this. But when you put it into the hands of God and it's no longer your problem and you trust Him with it, guess what? Then that place that was in your heart that was filled with anxiety, the stress and all the anger and bitterness has now been replaced with joy. Jesus was always saying things like, cheer up. Take heart. Be not afraid or fear not. And you know why? He had an unshakable faith in His Father. So no matter what was going on, He can walk up to your circumstance and He can say, hey, take heart. Don't worry about this. Don't fear this. Don't be anxious over that. Why? Because He had complete trust, an unshakable trust in His Father. And you can have that same kind of trust in Him that Jesus had. There was a paralyzed man who was brought to Jesus, and He said to him, cheer up, your sins are forgiven. Take up your bed and walk. And the Bible says immediately the man took up his bed and started glorifying God. He was able to walk, and he was filled with joy. Why? Because God did something for him that he could not do for himself. when Jesus walked on the Sea of Galilee and he looked into the frightened eyes of all of his apostles who were trying as hard as they could to row in the midst of this storm, he saw that they were afraid. And you know what Jesus said? Cheer up. Do not be afraid. It is I. Let me tell you something that you can absolutely trust this afternoon. In the storms of your life, if you are willing to listen, you can hear the voice of Jesus saying to you, cheer up. Do not be afraid. It is I, and I will be with you. On the last night, we talked about this a month or so ago. On the last night in the upper room, Jesus once again tried to tell his disciples that he was going to die. And most of you know that they just couldn't accept that. They didn't want to hear it. They didn't want to believe it. It had so rocked their world that they were just kind of tuning him out. They weren't willing to listen. And in spite of their unbelief, Jesus said to them, when the world persecutes you, and when suffering comes your way, he said this, cheer up, because I have overcome the world. So no matter what happens, don't ever let yourself be convinced that this is bigger than me, that this is bigger than my God. He said, take heart, cheer up, I've overcome the world. You and I really don't have a whole lot of control over the circumstances that are going to come our way. Fact is, we really don't have a clue what the next few months or the next few years are going to bring into our homes or into our families or into our lives. Truth is, maybe some of the worst things imaginable really is going to happen. It's going to come to pass. But there is that trust, that sacred bond, that we can really bring the strength in our life, you know, to the forefront of those circumstances. And we can do that in spite of what's happening to us. Because in the midst of that, there is a voice of Jesus saying to us, cheer up. Cheer up, because a joyful heart is the very best medicine that you can ever take. A joyful heart is what you need to build a family of faith with. Amen? All right, let's pray. God in heaven, I thank you for today, and I thank you for these folks that are here. And God, there seems to be a constant barrage of things, one after another. It seems like one wave after another that crashes in on us, that tries to rob or steal the joy. One moment we're so excited, we're so elated by the things that we see you doing, and then instantly something comes and wants to rob us of that joy. God, would you today help us to be able to recognize that the very best medicine we can take, the very best medicine that we can have is a joyful heart. Would you restore that joy to us today? Would you help us, Lord, to trust you, to do our job that you've given to us, to share our faith with other people? God, would you give us the courage to remember that we have experienced a great deliverance? God, I pray you be with us even during our time of fellowship. I pray for this in Christ's name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Thank you.